Seder this week, Pashas Balak. In the end of the Seder, beginning, we have the nice Balak. Harasha wants it to, Achman Son, destroy Klai Yisrael. So he hired Bilam Harasha to Makalan them. Bilam Harasha was a Navi, between the Musaylan. Mufashim say that David made one Navi by the Musaylan, by the Goyim. They shouldn't complain that they don't have a Navi, they have a chance also. And Bilam was known, he had the Kerf to Makalan. So he hired him to give a call. And Bilam Harasha, of course, wanted to give a call. He said he wanted to give a call, but he knew the facts. The facts were that he could only say what the Eibishter puts in his mouth. And that was the mice. He tried to give a call, and Eibishter put in his mouth a bracha. He ended up giving a bracha. Bol got upset, of course, so Bilam said, we'll try it from maybe a different angle. He thought it would work. He went to a different place, looked at Klai from a different angle, and again, he gave a bracha. And then he said he tried a third time, he went to a third place, and again he tried to give a call, and Eibishter only ended up giving a bracha. The Torah says that v'icha ach Bilam. Bilam got angry at him. At Balak, he told him, Lokhev, I some schaticha. I hired you to curse them. Hini brachta zeshon shpom, and three times he gave a bracha. So Bilam answered him back, reminded him, I said I can only do what David should put in my mouth. But Bilam Rasha gave him an etza. He goes, between me and you, I'll give you advice. I'll give you an etza. And Rashi brings down a little more of the inside conversation. He says the lashon that Bilam Harasha told him was, the Eibishter of these people, the Eibishter of these Yidden, he hates Zima. Zima is znus pitzus. You machshu the Yidden in Zima, and then you win. Then you win. Balak took the advice. He sent a nice midian, and the Yidden, Achman's son, b'chayti with a nice moyev. And a magefa started. And then the Torah says that, and part of the Aveir was one of the Nesim, one of the Rashi called Zimri, was Achman Slan did Zima, Bethahesia, and Pilchus went and did the mitzvah Kanoim Pagan Boy. So in the mitzvah Kanoim Pagan Boy, he went and he killed Zimri. And the Torah says, the Eibishter said that Kibyachal, that Pilchus Heshev es Chamasi, he stopped the Magefa. And that's what the Pasuk continues in the following set of Pashas Pinchas. That he gave, the Eibishter gave, the Eibishter gave Pinchas, Chayin Emma Hini Nesling is Bisi Shalom. Voisling Zari Acher Bris Kunis Oilam. Tachashakin Elankov. And the Schuss of the Smiths, so Pinchas became a Kayin. So Rashi explains that Pinchas really was already a name of Kolvar and a Kayin. He was a grandson of Aran Kayin. Pinchas Ben Lazar Ben Aran Kayin. So why wasn't he a Kayin automatically? So Rashi explains when Kahuna started, when the Eibishter first gave Kedushas Kahuna to Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen was not born a Kohen. Aaron was given Kedushas Kahuna, was given by Matan Torah. But Matan Torah, when David made Aaron Ubonov Kahanim, it was only Aaron Ubonov. It was Aaron, at that time, Aaron had four sons. Elozav Yisam and Nadav Aviyu. David made Aaron and Elozav Yisam and Nadav Aviyu Kahanim. But their children that were born before that, they were not Kahanim. And Pinchas was born before that. Now, once Aaron and Ubana became Kahanim, now the Kahanim, any children they had after that would be Kahanim, and that's the Dari Darius of Kahanim that we have. Everyone was born from Allah's Visam, another of you, after they became Kahanim. Aaron and Kahanim, I don't think, had any more sons, if you look at the Nach. But the children that were born before, Moshe Pinchas, he wasn't a Kahanim. So that's what the Torah is saying, that Pinchas got the Matnas Kuna, got the Schuss of being a Kahanim because of this mitzvah, of Kahanim Pagamai. I'm thinking that even though the Torah says that Pinchas became a Kohen because of this mitzvah Kohen Pogrom, I think it's also only because he was a grandson of Aaron HaKohen. If he wouldn't have been a grandson of Aaron HaKohen, if he would have been somebody else, I don't think he would have given kahuna just because of this mitzvah. Because to give kahuna to someone from a totally different mishpacha would be taking away from Aaron. When kahuna was given to Aaron, it was given exclusively to Aaron and his family. If you give kahuna to a different family, you're taking away some matnas kahuna. This way, all matnas kahuna goes only to Aaron and his family. All truma and all matnas kahuna, the chavtar matnas kahuna, chaz v'shoeg, all the matnas kahuna, and the avoid the besmitish is strictly to Aaron. If you give it to someone else, you'd be taking it's not right. It was to Aaron and Cain in a way. It would be taking away from him. That's why.
Then his children also would have been.
That's right.
Okay, so that's it's not so
cool.
It's true,
Hein, that he's a
Aaron,
but I think it's only because he's also named that's why. No, Moshe, if Pinchas would have been from a different family, I think they should have given him a different schar. He needed to get a schar for the Kohen Pagim, he would give him something else. The reason why he got this schar of becoming a Kohen is also only because he's an Ein Kohen. This way it's not taking away from Aaron. Aaron and the Kohen probably doesn't mind. Okay, really it was only given to Aaron and Bonav and the ones that were born after they became Kohanim. But if you want to add one more, Pinchas, who was also from Elazar, from Aaron and Kohen, that's not taken away from Aaron and Kohen. There's in the news a while ago, there's a panel of Gzach in Chochmogim Tamin that they know how to look at genes and DNA. It's microscopic, but every person has something miyuchad to him, genes, and there are also matching things in families. They could see very close similarities, I think, to brothers and sisters. And they found something, they call it the Goyim, after they called the Kohen gene. They found a certain gene that every Kohen they checked has that gene, and anyone who's not a Kohen does not have it. And it's a Moed HaKadosh Hashem. It's something that shows that our Messiah is true, that anyone who has a Kohen has this, if he gets tested, he has this gene, the Kohen gene. So it shows it's a Moed HaKadosh Hashem to show our Messiah that these people all have some sort of relation, the Chacham Ogeim Taman tells us. They all related. They all come from the same ancestor. They all come from Aaron HaKohen. So over 3,000 years since Aaron HaKohen, we kept the Messiah Shtak, that we all know who's a Kohen. So I saw that the Yisro V'Yoshev, if you could be Samech on this test to make someone who doesn't know he's a Kohen, someone never knew he was a Kohen, he does a test and he sees he has the Kohen gene. Can you say Bechas Kohen? We don't know if we know a Kohen. Can he get the first Aliyah and Leining? Does he have it in Kohen based on his Kohen gene? What? And maybe they would break it down from the father. Maybe they would, you know, there's the Y and the X chromosome. Maybe they have to see paternal genes and maternal genes. Maybe it's a paternal gene. You know, they break it down. Maybe they could test Kahanasin also for that family, but they could test it. Right? Anyway, this is the way for the Shem. So obviously they're able to break it down only from the father. So the Sefer Yoshua said no. He said, the halacha, a kohen is only someone as a messiah from his father, from a father to son, he's a kohen. We don't go with these nine maces with genes. So I was thinking that there's another reason why you should not rely on the kohen gene is because the same way Pinchas was born before the Bnei Aaron became Kohanim, Mistam, there were other children born to Elazar v'Soma. Another view of the Torah is to talk about them, and Mistam, there was other children born before they became Kohanim, and they never became Kohanim, but they're also Enoch of Aaron. So they would also have that gene that they stem from Aaron. What? The Kohen gene is telling you came from Aaron, but the way we're explaining that the Rashi says only Aaron, one of, became Kohanim. Any children that were born before Matan Torah, for example, Pinchas was also Ben Elazar. This is a Kedushas Kuna. The gene is not showing Kedushas. The gene is showing they came from Aaron HaKohen. Every person has specific genes. Every person has specific genes. All children from a common ancestor will have that common gene. And every Kohen has this common gene. There's this one common ancestor. So that would be another reason. And another thing is, there might be Chalolim. I think a Chalol, just because he's a Chalol, he'll still have that gene. If he's knowing it from Yisrael Kahuna, from Bia's Yisrael Kahuna, he's a Chalol. And he does. And Chalol does not get, does not do Bechaz Kohen, does not do Avoida. Chayr doesn't get Rishon either, doesn't get the first Aliyah either. So just because someone has the Kohen gene, maybe he's a Chol. That's another reason we may have to rely about it. But just Agavucha, about the meaning of DNA and of Yoshev, I happened to see, actually I heard on the telephone.
Maybe if someone doesn't have it, should be able to pass it.
And Yoshev said we don't go by genes. We go, and in this story he said we don't go by genes. I'm going to tell you different mice, so we Yoshev did rely on DNA. There's a mice after the Twin Towers, Achamon's son fell, there were Nebuch Yidden in the building that were killed by the Ratzchim. And there was a Shayin of Agunas, because Achamon's son, anyone that died in the Twin Towers, there was no body. No body was found. And we know to be Mati and Isha, that Mati and Agunas, Mati and Isha, her husband died, you have to have Edus on a guf mess, and Edom have to be able to be made that this was her husband on this guf mess, and this dead body was her husband, to be Mati and Isha. And these people in the Twin Towers, Achamon's son, there was no guf mess. What the police did have was the Chonson, they gathered up many Yevarim. They gathered up some organs they found on the ground that weren't completely, some people completely, not Chonson, burnt or crushed, and then you wouldn't have no hetta. But there were some people that they did find certain body parts. And they gathered up all the body parts and they tested for DNA. And then they told all the people that suspected that knew they have a Hanson people in the, even Goyim Havel, that had people in the Twin Towers, they told them, bring us a toothbrush or something with that DNA. And they took from all the people that were supposed to be in the building's DNA, and they matched it to all the DNA of the body parts they found. And that's how they were able to identify at least a large number of the people who had definitely died in that building. So Shaila was, is this enough to be Matir in Eishes Ish, in Halacha? So there was a Beis Din that was convened in America.
It's not cold enough to be serious that they knew everything about them. They knew they went there, they knew everything.
Okay, but normally you have to see, if someone on a boat and you know the boat crashed, you have to see that you only there's Mishnayis and Yivamis, the end of Yivamis. You have to aid this on the person that drowned. You have to see the guf mess. No, you can't just be Matir Guna knowing someone went to that building that day. There's no right here to leave.
But you know the
weapon,
they had reason to believe it, and then
you had
this.
Okay, so is this all enough? What?
Is this the only one
to be Matir? Obviously, this is the story, it's the case. You know, he went to work then, and he didn't come back, but the Maisa, he cannot be Matir someone. There were people that made phone calls to their wives right before and said goodbye every once on, but it's not enough to be Matir until you have a dead body. And here, the only dead body we have is this DNA. Is that enough? So it's Beis Din in America. I think the Beis Din was a Bilyon Levin. A guy in a Bilyon Levin, Tam Chacham here in Lakewood, one known Tam Chacham from Yeshiva many years, more recently is Rosh Kailo of Cheshemish Bevaneza. And they got together and they passed in the Shaila. And before they gave a final psak, they had a phone conference with Rabbi Yashav. And Bilyon Levin invited his Kailo. His Kailo was learning, that's Mana Gunas. And he invited his Kailo to come and listen in on the conference call with Rabbi Yashav. And I knew some of the Chevi HaKoel, and they told me that's man, they were learning my Sefer on Shuz Kivega, B'yich Yizvegev, on some Shuvas and Agunas. They were using it on Simuk of Zion, other Shuvas, and they invited me to come along. So I got to sit in. The conference call was in the Yeshiva's office, one of the offices, or Baron Cutler's office, very nice office. If you've ever been there, it was only there once. He had a nice phone system. And he had a doctor also. They had a doctor who was saying Eidus on the line. The doctor didn't speak Yiddish or Avrit, so they had an interpreter for the doctor. And Rabbi Yashav got understood, seemed to understand most of his English, and we were all sitting there listening in. So it started out, Rabbi Yonah Levine started to present the Shaila, and he started to say Ishtakal Torah in the Oymek HaSugya, and Rabbi Yashav cut him off, and he says, now's not the time for Torah, he didn't want to hear any Ishtakal Torah, he said, let's get to the facts. And Rabbi Yashav asked him, his first Shaila was, and he wanted to get this to the doctor that was giving professional testimony, he asked him, is DNA more than 1 in 1,000? That there's no one else with the same DNA, or is it less than 1 in 1,000? The reason Rabbi Yashav asked 1 in 1,000 is a Gemara in the end of it's in Eglot Tzis. It's also the end of Yevamos and it's halacha in Siman Yud Zayin. The halacha is that if you have a guf mess and he's not recognizable, let's say some of the face is decomposed, and you can't recognize someone's husband was missing, and they found the guf mess, they found a dead body, they can't recognize him, but there's a simen like a birthmark on the person. That you know her husband has. Is that simen, can you be Matir in Eishes Ish based on the simen? The Gemara talks about Simon of the Raisa, Simon of the Rabbanim. So we know Simonim is from Hashavas Aveda. That's where we know the name Simonim, but maybe it's only by Hashavas Aveda. Does it apply also to Matir Nisha? So the Gemara says, if it's a simen Garua, and an example of a simen Garua is the person was short or tall, or he was blonde or redhead. Something like that. That doesn't mean anything because a short or tall, aruch v'katsa, a balkuma. That's every second person is tall or short. Every third person is tall or short, and blonde here or red here. Every third person, every fifth person has red here, has blonde here. That doesn't prove it's him. That could be somebody else. That's called simen guru. That's nothing. If it's a simen muvik and a simen muvik, the pesukim say is 1 in 1,000. That's where we got this number from. And the Gemara gives an example. Nekev mafol lishna tooth. If there's a hole that goes through a tooth. It's possible somebody else has that hole. If you'll check more than 1,000 people, maybe you'll find a second person. But 1 in 1,000, you're not going to find more than 1 in 1,000 people with a simen. That's him. Then you know it's him. If it's in between, that's called simen himself. What?
Three
simen guru. Right, simen guru, simen mubik, and simen himself. If it's somewhere in between, that's called simen himself. That's where the machlekes in Gemara, and that's where the machlekes by simen. That's not so poshut. So that's what Rabbi Yashav was asking. This simen of DNA, is this a simen mubik? Is this 1 in 1,000? Like you're not going to find 1 in 1,000 with this same person's DNA. Maybe more, but at least you won't find 1 in 1,000. So the doctor answered back, it's not even 1 in 1,000,000. I was surprised. I thought it wouldn't even be one in a billion. I thought DNA is more exact than that. But he said, no, maybe more than one in a million, you will find somebody with the same DNA, because it's not broken down to every detail. You'll find someone with the same DNA, but one in a million you won't find. So the Yosha said, okay, that's good enough. That's a Simon Muvik that it's in. But the second channel of the Yosha asked is, what was the Ava that they tested? Was it an Ava Shanashama Tolyboy? The din is, for to be Mati and Aguna, if you find an Avish and a Shema Tuliboy, the example given is in a Kugel Maila. In the times of Gemara, at least, if a person had his leg chopped off from a certain point high up, he doesn't survive it. He cannot survive it. And if he had, let's say, a shoe on it or something which we can identify that this leg was this person's leg, and then the Shema Tuliboy, and it was his, then she's Mutta. So same thing over here. This Ava that we know was his, the DNA was the semen, was that an Ava Shanasham Tuyibah? So they told him that it was a spleen. But they didn't find all Avarim, they found a spleen that matched this Ashishish's husband's DNA. And Vyashavias is a spleen of Ava Shanasham Tuyibah. So Dr. Ann said, he said that in the optimal conditions, if you remove a spleen under surgery, a person can't survive. But if a spleen came out of the body, not in a hospital, and the same thing that took the spleen out would kill the person. It's not shayach, a guy from a foley, that the spleen came out, that he should survive that. Okay, I don't want to say more than what I heard. And this was enough of a yashiv. A yashiv was mati based on this, which is really, I think, a moedig chiddush halacha. I don't think it says anywhere. We find an avish nashem b'tluya boy. You have to find the face, the heart, or the lungs, or something that the person cannot live without. Over here, he's admitting that it's an Ava with Shein Hashem Tluya Bo. He's admitting that it's an Ava that a person could live without. But he's saying a Chiddush, since the own, it's not possible for it to be removed under such conditions. So I couldn't even
person. The person was in a mafus. It's not enough.
No.
It is. What do you mean? The person was in the mafus.
I'm just saying the way it was said.
Nobody could survive.
Okay. I'm just telling you the way it was said. This is the way it was said. And the third Shein of Yashav Yestin was, is it possible that the police switched the toothbrushes for some reason? Maybe, you know, they're telling you that that this lady's husband's DNA matches the spleen, but maybe they switched the toothbrushes and they put a different name on it, and that toothbrush with this lady's husband's name is really somebody else's DNA, and it's some other guy that matches it. Maybe her husband is not this spleen, is not from this Ava, and maybe he took off. Is that possible? So the doctor, he was, I think, involved in the case. And he was made, he testified, said that he can't answer that question. Obviously, it is possible, but he can't say there's no reason for the police to do that. He can't imagine any reason the police would do such a thing. So Yosha basically said, okay, basically we could be the goyim anema mesiach v'toymim. They're not coming to be mati neshes ish. They're just coming to identify for their own records who was in the building at the time, who was next to we could be made. And basically, after that, it was a very short few questions, just like that, on the phone, Yosha was mati neshes ish. You know, you would think it would be a whole complicated thing, but no, just like based on that, it's not going to be. So basically, here's a case where he did rely on DNA, to be Mati and Ashish Ish, but to create a Kayin, the Yashav did not want to rely on the Kayin gene. So again, they say the story that the Yashav said to Naya Maisa, we have to have Messiah, but I'm thinking other reasons he can't rely on the Kayin gene, because like we're saying, this Kiddush, that maybe he's a Kayin from a different son of Aaron, from before Matan Skun happened. That just because the Enoch of Aaron does not mean that you're a Kayin, the same way Pinchas was not a Kayin, if he wasn't zeichet to it with this chus of kanyan vaygumay. On this pasuk, where Pinchas became a kohen, the Torah says again, he nesim es bishti shalom. The Gemara says in Kedushin that Afsam chavavam abeis in the beginning of Aima, vav de shalom ketiyah hi. Ketiyah is kuf tes yudayin hey. The vav of the word shalom is cut off. It's cut. Ketiyah l'chayim means cut. It's interesting to know exactly what is the tzura of the Vav Ketiyah. How exactly do we cut it? When we get to Pashas Pinchas next week by Mincha and Shabbos, Monday, Thursday, on Shabbos, if you want to walk up to Sefer Torah and soap and give a look at the Vav Shalom, you'll see something interesting. You'll see a little slit in the Vav. So Kivega in a tshuva, Siman Ayin Hey, was asked by a Sefer, it seemed that there was different Minhagim and people were making this Vav Ketiyah different ways, and somebody asked Kivega, Lamaisa, how do you make a Vav Ketiyah? So the Kivega answered back that the Poshet Taishav of Ketiyah is that it has a little cut in it. And the Kivega said, most of the Torahs are doing like the Ur Torah. The Ur Torah is a Kadmain that seems to be a very big safe on important safe on Safras. This Kadmain, and the Ur Torah shows a picture of it. He says the slit is done on top of the above. The way, and it comes out looking, I have a picture of it if you want to look, it comes out looking like a little yud, and then the little space, and then the vav continues. That's the vav ketiyah. And the Gemara has a drasha from this, by the Gemara has a more than a drasha. This is where we're going now. Since there's the vav of Hini Nesu Nebishi Shon, the Gemara says the vav ketiyah, that the vav is cut, we dashen as if the vav is not there. And we dashen the word shalom as if it says shalem. And we dashen him here, kishu shalem, he's oivid, the loy kishu chasa, not when he's a ba'amum. This is the mocha that ba'amum is possible for vayda. The whole mocha is from this pasuk. Shalom means pashut peace, or unless you shalom. But if you take away the vav, the word is shalem, the Gemara dashen is kishu shalem, a kain is only, and we learn from this pasuk by Pinchas, the okahanim. This is the whole mocha that a ba'amum does not do a vayda. So, moed de galacha. So Shaila again was, what exactly is the tzura of this vav ketiyah? So Kfege brings down from the Torah that the vav ketiyah means it had a little split in it, and the slit was on top, so it looked like a yud, and then it continued after that. But Kfege is more that if you look in the Rebbeinu Bechai in Pashas Pinchas, it's not mashma that way. The Rebbeinu Bechai, he writes a loshen that the vav ketiyah is a vav zeira, is a small vav. So Kveg is medayik, that sounds like from the Ben Machai that you don't make a pesukah in it, you make a small vav, just a small vav. That's the way the vav ketiyah is written. The Kveg asked, that's not the lashon of the Gemara. The Gemara doesn't say vav zir, it doesn't say vav ketana, small vav. The Gemara says vav ketiyah, a cut vav. A cut vav sounds like the atayah. So Kveg answers back no. And it could be the lashon of cut also is the lashon of a small vav, and the Kveg gives two rise to it. One is the Mishnah Shabbos, the Samachayim Aveyah. The Gemara says, Hakiteya, someone, Nachman's son, who has a cut foot, an amputated leg, Yesi Bekapshala, goes out with his cap, with his stick. I mean, in the old days, I think you see, like in the old pictures of the pirates, when they had that leg removed, they have like a little wooden piece there. That's the way Hakiteya, someone, Nachman's son, lost part of his leg, they would stick a peg, like a piece of wood in, and the Mishnah says in Shabbos, that's not called Haitzah. The Kiteya, the person missing leg, is allowed to walk out on Shabbos. So Zakti B'Kiveg, what's the Kiteya? The Kiteya has his foot cut off, but it doesn't mean a split and then the foot continues. It means it's just cut off. And it's a shorter leg. The same thing, Vav Kiteya could mean a short Vav. The bottom part is cut off, and it's cut off completely. The way Rebbeinu B'chai learns, it's a Vav Zira.
And we
We'll look at Rashi and Hinei Sobisi Shon. Does Rashi bring down Kishu Shalim Bolei Kishu Chasa? I think Gemara dashes it from here, from this pasuk also.
I don't know, it must be for a different Indian, but over here
it's the Hakim. Maybe it goes on a... Maybe it goes on a Chingus, Batnes Kahuna. Yeah, let's see. But anyway, but then
it's... I'm not asking you, I'm asking you. It's a parashat.
Yeah, okay, I have to see it again. But Gemara is also going out from here. We're getting back to the tzura of ketiyah. Then Kiviga brings another raya that ketiyah could be a lashon of cut and there's nothing remaining after that. From the lashon of the Gemara Yuma, Daf Yud Aleph, and other places, it talks about yeledes mukatayim, a woman who gives birth in less than 9 months. The Gemara calls it yeledes mukatayim. She's yeledes to cut off months from her pregnancy, from Yimei Hirayim. So the Rosh Kiviga says, you see that the lashon of ketiyah could be something cut off and there's nothing continuing after that. So first, giving is the kashan of Rebbeinu Bechai. How could you say that vav ketiyah means vav zir? It means a small vav. It's mashma. It's cut the way the Torah says. It has a cut and a slit in it, and then it continues. But Kivig brings these two rays that ketiyah can mean cut and nothing continues after that. You have both. You mean you have both. Right.
So the ones that have the minute to cut it lower really have the Benchayim's vav also.
The ones that cut it lower or higher?
The ones that cut it low.
On the bottom part? We didn't get to that sheet. Right now we only have stuff for two sheets. The entire sheet is that the cut is on top, so you have a yud and the vav continues. And the Benchayim, Kivega says, calls the vav zira a small vav, which Kivega understood to mean just a small vav and nothing underneath that. But the Kivig must bring a raya that the Mashah holds like the Atayr, that it's actually a slit and it's a yud with the continuing after that. Because the Mashah in Chli Shegod, the Sankadushin, he has the kasha on this whole drasha that because it's Vav Ketiyah, it has to be kishus shalim. We read the word as if there's no vav, and we read the word as shalim, as if there's no vav, and it has to kishus shalim, but like kishus chasa, not when he's a bamum. So, effective mashah, if the vav would be missing entirely, it would be a kriyin ksiv, maybe you could read it as shalim. But here the vav remains. Just because of vav ketiyah, where do you get the word shalim? It's still shalim. It's shalim with a vav ketiyah. Why is the Gemara ignoring the vav just because there's a cut in it? So maybe you say the kasha is not so shver. The fact that there's a cut tells you to ignore the vav. The mashah bothered him this kasha. So mashah wants to say merdik b'shat. He wants to say the havli of vav ketiyah kiyud. The vav ketiyah becomes like a yud. The kareen and shlim. And we read it in a Ramesh. We read it shlim. Shutagume shotamim. Hepech bamum. We read it as if we do read the yud. The mashon is differently. It's not, you don't take out the vav entirely. You read the vav as a yud. And if you read it as a yud, then in a Ramesh, in Aramaic, it would be shlim. Which is more like exactly. The Torah recognizes a Ramesh also. We do find some Ramesh. It was an accepted language in the time of Matan Torah. And Bechal, it's something special about a Ramesh. We know from other places. And it's in Tanakh also, but basically the Mashal learns, this Gemara that says, because of the Vav Ketiyah, we read as Shalim, does not mean that we ignore the Vav. We keep the Vav as a Yud, and the word is Shlim. And Shlim in Aramish means Shalim. That's the Mashal says. If the Mashal is saying that the Vav Ketiyah is read as a Yud, how does that work according to the Rebbeinu Bachai? If it's a Vav Zeir, if it's a small Vav, why would that be a Yud? He says it's Mashma from the Mashal that he understood like the other Torah. That it was a regular vav with a slit in it, with a yud on top and a space on the bottom. And then, because it's a yud on top, that's where we read like shlin. That's the most mashmash of the mashah. But then the kinnig wants this bidayk for this. He wants to say, well, it's lav dafka. Maybe the mashah learned like a bein b'chai, that it's a small vav. The tzuv of kli is a small vav with no cut in it. And because it's a small vav, we look at it like a yud. Just because it's small, I'm kfir giving zirayah. Listen to this more degree. Giving zirayah from a shtukla soma moris on the Rami panel. It's a very shvera kabbalah sefer. The Rami panel was from the great book of Bolam, a talmud of the Rizal. And the kfir quotes his lashon, and it's a few lines, and it's very difficult to read, very cryptic. I have a whole nice of how I got someone to explain it to me. I couldn't understand it, but someone explained to me the shtukla Rami panel in a soma moris. He's saying like this. He's going on a pasuk of Pashas Lech Lecha. We the Torah changed Sarah Aminu's name from Sarai to Sarah. And the Ramami Pano explains the Alpi Kabbalah. The Pasuk says, Lysikra Shema Sarai Ki Sarah Shema, the reason is, Ramami Pano says, is because Ois Yud is a very small ois. It's a dove cut, just tipas the oi, it's only a drop of the oi. And because it's so small, Alpi Kabbalah, it's not Masugal for Bracha. Ois Yud is not Masugal for Bracha. So therefore, the Eibush to change, and he brings down a Pikabonga that the Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei has Yud in it, because Mimal, the Yud is Masugah for Bracha. But Mitachas a Pikabonga, in this world, it's not Masugah for Bracha. So Sarai, her problem was, she had the name Yud in her name, it's not Masugah for Bracha. So therefore, the Torah said, change it to an Ois Hei. And Ois Hei has in it, you know, like a Dalet. And a Dalet is very Masugah for Bracha. So it says because Dalet goes Hilach for Veshav, it goes horizontal and it goes vertical up and down. It's Mesugal for Bracha to Mashpia from all sides. It's very good. It's very Mesugal for Bracha. But then the Soma Moris is Akasha, and the Ois Hay, the regal of the Ois Hay is like a little Yud. So you have again that little Yud which takes away the Koyach of a Bracha, which is not Mesugal for Bracha. So what was the whole Maila changing a name from Sarah to Sarah? So I'll pick up all of them. So Maharis explains that even though it's a yud, but because it's connected to a dalet, and the dalet is very mesugal for bracha, it's okay. You know, that's what she had a bracha. That's one teretz. And then he says, which seems to be a second teretz, he says that really that regal of the hay is not a yud. It's a vav zeir. It's a vav ketiyah. That's his lashon. It's a vav ketiyah. Which means a small vav. It's a small vav. And a vav is also very mesugal for bracha because it goes up and down. It's very mesugal for bracha. And the fact that it's small is special mesugal for bracha because small shows the midah of anivus and the midah of achna. And a person has the midah of anivus and the midah of achna, he's for sure going to have bracha. And it's a ganz kapon of the gazach. But akaponim, the kiregin is bekiyas, wants to say, you know, where do you find the words of gatiyah? So he told you, we have a gemara in Kedushin, it's also a mashah. So bein b'chayim pashas pinchas, and he says, in asor ma'amores, this Kabbalah Sefer in Pashas, on this shtickle in Pashas Lechacha, where he refers to that little regal in the hay as a vav ketiyah. Now over there, that little regal in the hay is not cut at all. It's the most you can say it's a small vav. So Kveg brings it right from there that the Hashemah Amaris also holds Vav Ketiyah means a small Vav. And then the Kiveg wants to say, I might think that the Sommar Mars was saying two trusts. First he called it a Yud, and then he said called it a Vav. First he said it's a Yud, and it's not so bad because it's connected to a Dalat. Then he called it a Vav, and he said it's good, it's very good, because it's a Vav. But Kiveg says it's not two Pshatim, it's all one Pshat. Because this Tzura of the regal of the Hay is one Tzura, we know what it is. And the Sommar Mars is calling it either a Yud or a Vav. The Teretz says, when you have a Vav Ziyu, when you have a small Vav, you could look at it either like a Yud or a Vav. That's what you see from some of the rest. It could be either a Yud or a Vav. There's a man who wants to say, the Mashah that said that the Vav Ketiyah is read as a Yud, to make the word Shlim, not Shalim, to make the word Shlim, the Mashah, Abdafka, we thought the Mashah is learning like the Atayra, that's obviously a Yud with a cut and it continues. But he says, no, it's Abdafka, maybe the Mashah learned like the Rein B'chai. That's a small Vav. And a small Vav can also be looked at like a Yud. What you see from the Sommar Maris. So Akaponim, we have two pshatim on what a Vav Ketiyah is and how to write in the Sefer Torah this pasuk in the Nesilim Sbisi Shalim. Agav, the Mashor, has a whole shtickle in Chlishe Yagadus. And it bothered me, why is it in Chlishe Yagadus, not in Chlishe Halachas? This Gemara is a very strong halacha de Gemara. First of all, it's telling you how to write a Sefer Torah. When you write a Sefer Torah, you make the Vav, how to make the Vav. So the Mashor is explaining it. Second of all, this, like we said, from this drasha, we were dashing from this Vav Ketiyah, Kishushoni, Bolek Mishuchasat, the Pasal Bamun. So, Mechay should be in Chadush Halachas. We know the Mashah used to have two Svarim, one Chadush Halachas, one Chadush Agos. They put them all together with different ice, it's called different font, the small ice. Mechay should be in Chadush Halachas. But upon them, these are the two Shitas. One Pshad of Vav Ketiyah is that it should be slit on top, with a little yud, and then continued on. If that, the other shot is no, you just make a small vav. And then Kivega brings down, he found one other person says, like the one of the Rishon says, like the Atayra, he says, no one else speaks about this. It explains exactly what the Tzura of the vav is, except the Ritva. The Ritva and Kedushin does bring down that some people were making it a vav Zeir, were making it a small vav, I guess they meant the Bein Bechai. And the Ritva says, you have to fix all those Sifik Tayras, that's not the right way to do it. He says, a Vav Ketiyah means it has a slit in it. That's the Vav's Lashon. Lashon is, a Vav Desham Ketiyahi, near is Akhtu Ritva, perish a curse bain time, there's a slit in it. The Eloi, have a name of Zivtahi. If not, the Tayras should, the Gemara should call the Vav Zira. That's the Vazoshan. In other words, people doing it like the Rebbein Bechai. Right. Kirege answered his kasha, why would the Gemara call Vav Ketiyah, not Vav Zir? Kirege answered that Vav Ketiyah can refer to something that's small, and even though it doesn't continue. He said, we find that by Ketiyah, it's Vav Shalonu, and he goes, Vav Ketiyah, we find that Lashon. But we've understood, like the Kashna, Vav Ketiyah, cut, it sounds like there's a cut and it continues. But the Kriga does say that from the Ritva, it's not Muchach where the cut is. The Kriga says, this that the Atari says, the cut on the top bothers him. Because the Maisa, that would be a Yud. That would be a Yud, and with a little ink underneath it, with a space along it. It says, more Mustabit, the Kriga says, Misvar, that the cut, you make a small Vav, and then you make a little cut, and then you continue the Vav. So the Shayna is where the cut should be. So Kveg is saying now three pshatim. One pshat is it's not a small vav like the Bein Bechai, and another pshat is that it's a regular vav with a cut in it to make a little space. And according to the Torah, the space is on top. So it's on top, so it's a unit and it funnels through. And Kveg says the Ritva is not clear. The Ritva just says that there's a cut, and it's mustabit from Kveg. The cut was on the bottom, and it's interesting that all the Sefer Torah today do like the Kveg. They do like the Kveg, not like this Kadmon. And Kirig is just saying in Masvara that the cut should be on the bottom. So you make like a small vav in a little space, and then you continue a little ink. Continue the vav. Okay, there's more in this tshuva. It gets a little more lamdish and a little more halachadik, but which we'll continue next time. Next Sunday is Tainis, Shavas Batamas Nidcha, so which we won't have regular Chabura. And we'll, the following Sunday, if the Pinchas, we'll continue this inyan. Shkayach.